Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Alrighty, hour number two, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network on this Friday. Across the country, nationwide.
It's Friday, fool.
It's Friday, fool. 3 to 6 Eastern, noon to 3 Pacific every single day. 1-855-212-4227. As we set it up inside of our Quicken Loans studio, national mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Got a great hour for you. Do a little baseball. Do inbounds, out of bounds. We'll preview the Falcons as we continue with our sixth annual Tiki and Tierney Two-A-Days. We've knocked off, how many teams have we done? That'll be 8 or 10. That'll be 8.
No, we've done 9.
So this will be 10.
Yeah.
There you go. TikTok.
Come on, BT. It's the fifth day of the week.
Did we start Monday or Tuesday? That's why I was unsure.
We had the Giants on Monday.
I didn't know if we did the Giants Tuesday or I thought it was Monday.
You got summer brain right now.
Dude, you know how much goes through this brain?
Oh, I know.
You got to understand. Look at this mess in front of you.
I know, and that's not counting like mommy issues and two kid issues into a new house issue.
I'm not complaining.
And it's the middle of summer, and all you want to do is play golf issues.
I'm playing golf tomorrow.
But your back is still kind of not fully from jacked up issues.
You know your partner well.
I do.
Your partner had his first massage today since surgery.
Really? And
she was a little aggressive, man. I got to tell you.
Did you tell her?
I told her, but she didn't really understand English. So I told her. I kept telling her.
Was she like muscular? Was she like?
She was strong.
Yeah.
She was strong. Definitely wasn't petite or dainty. She was strong, which is what you want.
She just wanted to show
strong
off.
Hands.
She's like, oh, big man, let me get you.
She definitely wasn't saying that. And if she did, I didn't understand it.
Dude, but you're tall. You're big. You walk in and lay on the table, you're big.
But I kept telling her, you know, and it's not a really big scar, but it's still a little bumpy.
But you can see it.
And you could feel it more specifically. I don't know that you could see it. It was dark. It was somewhat dark.
Yeah.
But you could certainly feel that little raised bump, almost like Braille, till it fully dissipates and the scar tissue goes away. And I told her 5 times, and very nicely.
Yeah.
And I knew when I said it the first time before we started, I'm like, I don't think she understood what I just said here. So now I'm going to have to, you know, let her at least.
So you don't actually relax then.
So I'm a little sore,
But you don't actually relax then.
No, because, I didn't. I was kind of tensed up the whole
Because you're
time.
Tense the whole time. So when I used to get massages when I was playing, whatever the injury would be, say I'd like jack up my shoulder or whatever it may be. And so I'd be getting a massage and I'd tell them my shoulder's sore.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And they don't pay attention to
but
it.
But these are doctors.
They don't
that
think
you were
about
going
it.
To.
Yeah.
This wasn't
no,
a
no,
doctor.
No, no, no. I'm talking about I would get 2 massages a week when I was playing.
But it was a professional masseuse who probably has a degree in kinesiology.
I would still tell them. But every time they get close to whatever the injury was, hamstring, whatever. I don't enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I'm just like, that's going to hurt. Okay, it doesn't hurt. But it's still going to hurt.
Yep.
So I know your pain.
Just want to get to that first tee tomorrow and practice my new boat, Dustin Johnson Bode.
Not going to work.
It's not going to work. I know it's not going to work. A little baseball here, Teak. All right. Now, we got some good series this weekend. Mm-hmm. The Rockies and the Braves. And we'll get to the suspension. I got an issue with where I think Major League Baseball missed it with Urena and the Okuda situation.
I think I agree with you.
Okay. Rockies. We'll get to it. Rockies, Braves. Mm-hmm. That's in SunTrust Park. Good series. Important series, obviously.
Yep.
Brewers, Cards at Busch. Always meaningful. You got the Dodgers and the Mariners at Safeco, really good. And you've got the Astros and the A's, separated by 2 games at the Coliseum. Yeah. I'm going to go on record here, all right? You know, it's easy to pile on the A's and their fans for not going to that stadium. The stadium's terrible. Mm-hmm. We all know that. It's decrepit.
Would you?
There's human feces.
I agree. I'm saying, would you go? No.
You're going to watch it? There, I had to go.
You know what I mean? But if you're a fan, seriously, I'm going to a bar. Or sit in my basement with my man cave and do whatever. Have beers with buddies instead of, I'm not going out there.
Yeah. Hey, even if it's a really nice stadium, that might be the way to do it these days. It's just easier, you know?
Right.
A little cheaper, probably, too. But here's what I'm going to say for the A's and their fans right now. So on this Monday of this week, they had 10,400 people there against Seattle, right? they had on July 30th against Toronto. It's a Monday, mm-hmm. early in the week. Okay, it's Toronto, not a rivalry. Toronto's not good. I get that. But your team is good.
Yep.
11,500. Here's where I back up the A's fan because I know him pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put him down for Mike, jot down this number for me, all right? Well, I want to reconvene on Monday and see how close we are. I'm going to go tonight. I'm going to go 23. No, I'm going to go I'm going to go 21 tonight.
Okay.
I'm going to go 25 tomorrow. I'm going to go 25 Sunday. I'm going to go 71,000 in total over the three games at the Coliseum. They'll start to show up. I've seen it before.
Yeah.
I've seen this script before.
Yeah.
They'll start going
and
now.
This is when it really matters.
Yep.
And you can't ignore it if you like baseball at all. You can't ignore where the A's are doing right now. I'm surprised, though, the Mariners, because
That's the one on Monday.
That was Monday.
That was Monday, yeah. First of the Monday, three games.
Yeah,
series.
Mondays are hard, though.
Hard in Boston, not hard in Chicago, hard in New York, not hard in San Francisco, which is 9 miles away over the Bay Bridge.
True.
I mean, not that hard.
I'm just thinking about myself. If I was going to a game, I'm going to pick a day. Monday is not a day I would go to a baseball game.
Same here.
You know what I mean?
Same here.
But 10,000 versus the Mariners, that's the fight.
That's like, it's not quite, you know, maybe it's not Cubs Cardinals, but mm-hmm. it's Cubs Brewers.
Yeah.
You know, that's the comparison with the divisions. That's a good rivalry there. And the one thing about that number, too, having known this from not just there, but this is common, you know, if the numbers are listed at 10-4, there's no way there's 10,400 bodies in that stadium.
Right.
That's what they give out for free tickets. Mm-hmm. That is not bodies in the house.
Right.
So it was probably, in terms of bodies, they may have had more like 8,000. But I'm rooting for the A's fans to show up and show out. I tell you what, when they are, the ones that are there are great, no matter if it's 9,000.
Mm-hmm.
And when they show up, and they got a good team, that place gets raucous. I think it's going to be a lot of fun this weekend. Book it. That place will be pretty full. All right, so with the suspension, right?
Yeah.
Here's my big beef about this, Teague, with the Marlins, Jose Urena getting 6 games for hitting Acuna. I fundamentally,
a start, basically.
What's that?
A start, basically.
Yeah, a start. Exactly. They tack on the extra day so that everybody can't say, you just missed a start. They basically preemptively think that they shut us up, but they didn't. Here's the problem that I have with this. Like, fundamentally, now Acuna played last night.
Mm-hmm.
Love the fact that the young buck got right back, and I didn't hit a home run,
but
he got out there.
But he's young, and he's recovery powers are at an all-time high.
Yep.
20 years. I mean, of course, he's going to be
able
to come back.
Love seeing it.
Even if he hurts, it's not going to affect him.
But I wasn't sure the Braves are going to let him play. Hmm. You know, got to protect the player.
But without structural damage, and I mean, it was hit. If it didn't hit the bone, it hit soft tissue, then it's just a bruise. You know, nothing fully serious and nothing that he can really do more damage to.
Mm-hmm.
You put the elbow brace on, and AJ likes to wear those just to look cool.
Oh, I wish I had those when I was playing. I would have had all that stuff.
But
like,
you know what I mean? You put some body armor on,
like Gary Sheffield.
It's all good. But it's interesting that he didn't have it in the first place, right? Especially because the guy who is evolving into a home run power.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's not going to hit 50 home runs in a season, but he's kind of evolving into that he wouldn't have had it already, right? A lot of these young players, once they start really hitting, they know they're going to get pitched inside.
Oh,
that's the only way for a pitcher to prevent, you know, the bat of the meat of the bat from crushing a ball. And so I'm surprised he didn't have it already, but you know he'll have it going forward for sure.
You know what I'd love to see? You bring that up with the armor and the guard, and it wasn't like that when, you know, a guy like Dave Winfield, when we were kids, would step right up to that box at 6 foot six.
Yeah, but Dave Winfield was a monster. That dude was like a tight end, man.
He literally was. Well, he was a pitcher. He got drafted in 3 sports.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. I would have drafted him in hockey and just thrown him in front of the goal and be like, you're so big, you can probably stop anything.
Can you skate?
It doesn't matter.
No,
just stand in front of the net.
Make sure you can stand and do a split.
Imagine him hitting like a 5-iron if he was like, I don't know when he plays golf, but imagine him at that height, you know, puring one,
right,
especially when he was young
mm-hmm.
and thin. Great player. But what I would like to see baseball do, and they'll never do this, it's too late. We're probably too far past the point of no return. I would like to see, you know, we talk about ways to speed up the game, mm-hmm. make it more appealing to America's youth, make it more appealing to the African-American, the young African-American, all these initiatives that are good and important. I would love to see them, you know, somehow implement a rule where you can't go up there looking like a left tackle. I'm serious because...
yeah, with I hear you.
It's a real distinct disadvantage for the pitcher. If I've got something on, as a lefty hitter, if I've got something on my elbow and that's protected, and I've got something on my instep, so if I foul off a slider...
Yep.
I'm not going to break my ankle. As long as I'm not afraid of getting hit in the face, and now some guys are starting to wear the guard,
mm-hmm.
what are you afraid of? You're not. Yeah, you'll take one off the soft tissue. That's gonna hurt for a second. but you won't miss 30 games.
But I gotta tell you, BT, some of the guys, you even have those, right? They have these
like the flap jackets. They have these sewn in things.
I know what you mean.
Like Steph Curry wears that. Carmelo started wearing that.
You're right,
to hide his chubbiness. I'm just kidding.
Male Spanx.
Yeah, it was like it almost was like a bulletproof vest.
Call it padding, but it's actually male Spanx.
Yeah,
seriously.
I know. Basketball players wearing that too.
I mean, but how much of a part of the game is that? You know, like the intimidation factor.
This
of today's game, of getting hit. But back when, you know, in your era, when you were playing in college, and even the major leagues
college
around
is
your
different
area,
because the end, you don't want to get suspended. Yeah. So it wasn't. I'd like to
but
say,
still,
oh, it was real tough.
But did guys pitch inside?
Yeah, got hit a few times.
Of course. And so it's still there.
Yeah.
Right. You thought about it.
Yeah.
When someone went inside on you, thought about it. But If you had armor when you were playing, would you have been afraid? No.
I would have been afraid of striking out still, or aware that I probably was going to strike out. But I would not have been afraid of getting hit. It's a disservice to the game because it takes away that tactical, like that two-way engagement, like the chess match. As a pitcher, 60 feet 6 inches. If somebody theoretically takes away half of home plate, which is what happens with armor, now you've really lessened my chances to beat you.
Yeah, but
which is your advantage. But you got to do something to even it out.
But it is a safety thing, though. So how can you can't knock the safety side of it, right? Seriously.
Not a safety thing. Not a safety thing.
But it benefits offense.
It may have started as that, but you know what? I think you're right. It probably did start as that.
Yeah.
The guy legitimately fouled off a slider on his instep, and his shin was sore. Sure. But then when Bonds and these other guys started going up there and they tried just, number one, stylistically, it looked kind
of
cool.
Of course it
does. Let's be honest.
Well, that's the only reason AJ wears it.
Yeah,
it looks cool.
Copycat league. Just like when guys started wearing pants all the way down to their spikes. Mm-hmm. Now the pants got loose. Now the hat. When I was growing up, if I ever wore a hat like this, first of all, my father would have grabbed it and be like, that's not how we wear a hat. And my coach would have done the same thing.
Yeah.
But I got to be honest with
now,
you.
Now, CeCe where rocks is that way when he pitches.
If I was pitching right now, I wouldn't wear it like this in the field. If I was a pitcher, it wouldn't be like this. This is clownish. But I have it, you know, maybe half an inch off. Yeah, I probably would. Why? Because, I don't know, you see the guys doing it. The point is, there's too much armor, and it's impacted the game. But back to the arena thing for a moment, right? I think that, and I say that Acuna played last night because that's really important. What if he missed 5 weeks.
Yeah. He broke something.
I believe that baseball would have suspended Urena for 10 to 15 games.
Maybe.
So don't you think it's time to make the suspension independent of the result of the plunking?
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. And it's one of those things in baseball where they try to be fair to what actually happened. And I get it, right? It's just the natural, you know, inclination of humanity. It's like, what did he actually do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he didn't hit. Inconclusive or no issues with the MRI, with x-rays. Oh, he's fine. What did it actually do? I know we got upset and, you know, the Braves fans got pissed and even the Braves, they came out of the huddle. But what did he actually do? So that's what the suspension is going to be based off. It should be based off intent. And the intent was clear. Urania wanted to drill him, and he did it with a 97-mile-an-hour fastball.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't high, but it was really inside. I mean, that thing had no chance of being caught by the catcher.
He couldn't get out of the way.
Even if Acuna had been there, the catcher would have had no chance of catching
it. It hit the backstop,
right?
I agree.
And so the intent is what...
Get a steak.
Exactly. The intent. I know, there's not... It's that. What's his name from Major League?
No, that was Boldore with the steak.
No.
Yeah, Nuke LaLoosh.
Rick Vaughn. Ricky Vaughn. Ricky Vaughn was wild. This was like Ricky Vaughn pitch.
Yeah. Right? When he breaks the head off the fake batter, that aluminum batter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the intent is what Major League Baseball needs to look at.
Yep.
And I know it's hard to do that because you don't really know. But in this case, you really knew.
Yes. So we're on the same page. And it's their job to try to read intention. Now, sometimes you get it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you get it wrong and you're a little aggressive in the punishment, don't you think that it will preemptively dissuade others from being so reckless?
Yeah.
And isn't that the ultimate goal?
That's what I would think. I mean, they get behind Acuna, who obviously he spoke out about being subject to a bean ball, but it has no teeth unless Major League Baseball says, yeah, you know what, we agree with you, and Urania is going to get it 15 days. You know, something like that. Then other pitchers are going to be like, all right, I'll go high. I'll go inside, but I'm not going to hit you. Not
Bingo.
On purpose.
Bingo. All right, good stuff, Teak. Let's get into the Falcons. Falcons should be really good this year. Boy, how disappointing was Matt Ryan last year, though? That Sarkisian relationship did not go very well. I think we all think it goes better in year two. Some familiarity, see what happens. Brian Finneran, former Falcons wideout, does radio down in Atlanta as the Tiki and Tierney 6th Annual Two-A-Days roll on. The Falcons are up next right here on CBS Sports Radio.
Summer is here, and so is the unbearably hot weather. So think about how much time we spend in the sun over the summer. We also spend a ton of time in our cars during the summer months. You know how that heat can just drain the life out of you? Well, imagine what it's doing to your car. Summer heat can be draining on your vehicle's battery, even more so than in the harsh winter months. Heat, more than cold, can shorten your battery's life, and rising temperatures can cause battery fluids to evaporate, leading to corrosion on cable clamps and terminals. Now, you don't want that to happen because we always need and want our cars at its peak performance. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts now and have your battery tested free of charge. That's right, free. And if it needs replacing, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the exact Superstart battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. To find a store near you, visit O'ReillyAuto.com. That's O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
All right, a lot of question loaded indeed. Saints and Panthers, the Falcons, even the Buccaneers when Winston gets back, if he's right, if they're clicking on all cylinders, a lot of octane, no doubt. Brian Finneran is with us here, Teague, who joins us every year, former Villanova star, you know? It's like it's kind of like the football version of Dante DiVincenzo. Nobody thought he was going to make it, but he actually made it. What's up there, Brian? How are you, Teague and Tierney?
I'm doing good. Ready for some football. I appreciate you guys having me.
Always a pleasure,
yeah,
bud.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. You know, the first question, obviously, has to be about Julio Jones and the extended offseason strife, best word to use, I guess. Where is he right now? Where is the team with him right now? And obviously, how does he look?
He looks great. He's a machine. He really is. Is anybody close to Megatron, Calvin Johnson?
Yeah.
And it's Julio Jones. It really is. He's a freak of nature. Size and strength and muscles on top of muscles, and his ability to do everything you want a receiver to do, whether it's get off the jam, beat a guy down the field with speed, run precise routes, he can do it all. And it was scary this offseason for a little bit, and especially for Matt Ryan, but Julio got into camp on time, and this is the first training camp he's been a part of 100%. I can't remember in his 7 or 8 years in the league now.
Wow, is that right?
It was really good for him to be there and get all the work he got, because in the past he's been banged up, had some kind of an injury or a hammy or needs some time off or whatever it was. But finally this year got him in for a full extended training camp.
Well, that's scary for the division and the rest of the National Football League, because he's been amazing if he hasn't done that. Do you think that the team felt that this was going, that his contract was going to be an issue, and that's one of the reasons why they went out and drafted Calvin Ridley in the first round?
It's a great question. I don't think so. I think Calvin really just fell to him at 26. I really do, because everybody expected him to be in the top 20, I would imagine, and he just kept falling and falling. At that point, you just go, holy cow, let's get another Alabama receiver that can be really good in the league for a long time. I just think that Julio and his representation, his agent, kept seeing receiver after receiver, you know, leapfrog him
yeah.
to the salary cap deal or the annual salary, and they just had enough. And they said, let's just make a point. Let's get in their mind that next year we need to be broke off, because this is getting ridiculous that guys like Sammy Watkins and Brandon Cooks and these other receivers that are not as established in the NFL are getting way more money than he is. And I say way more, it's all relative. It's $2-4 million more a year on their new money deals, and Julio was tired of seeing that. I think that's what happened.
Okay. Talking to Brian Finneran, former Falcons wideout, does a lot of radio down there, 680 The Fan, and joins us every year, obviously chimed in and very much piped into what's happening with the Falcons. I'll tell you, we always say time really flies, and this is a great example of it. I remember like it was yesterday, and Teague knows my sister went to BC, so I was always locked into BC a little more, but I remember watching Matt Ryan play against Virginia Tech when Boston College was a top five team. Think about how long ago that they haven't been a top five team since.
Really long time ago.
And even that was kind of an anomaly because the last time they were top five was like Doug Flutie. Yeah. I mean, it was and he was in. I remember it was raining sideways. It was a Thursday night ESPN game. Here we are. Matt Ryan's 33 years of age. Still really in his prime. But I want to ask you this, Brian. You've seen most of his career, if not all of it. How would you summarize Matt Ryan's career so far?
As Atlanta Falcon, that's all he's been. He's been unbelievable. Before Matt got to Atlanta, there was 40 years of football played, I think, and they had seven winning seasons. And the 10 years Matt's been here, he's had seven winning seasons. So Matt has changed the culture of this franchise. It started with Mike Smith in 2008 and Thomas Dimitroff and the group they put together with Michael Turner and Mike Mularkey coming here as an offensive coordinator and doing the things they did. So Matt Ryan made the Falcons a winning organization for the first time in the history of their franchise. They hadn't won back-to-back seasons, didn't win in back-to-back seasons ever, and he put five in a row together. So Matt Ryan has been a godsend to the Atlanta Falcon organization. As a football player, he can do everything you want him to do at the quarterback position. He's smart. He's elusive in the pocket. I think in 2016, he really saw his ability to get the ball and push it down the field a little bit.
Yep.
For whatever reason, they lost that some last year. I think Steve Sarkisian, the new offensive coordinator, was learning about everybody. And the offensive line wasn't quite as good as it was the year before. But I think they fixed a lot of those things. And when Matt has the protection he needs, he can do whatever you want him to do in the pocket and getting the ball down the field. If he misses anything, it's that giant strong arm and, enough athleticism to make stuff happen with his legs. But I'm not worried about that when he's doing throwing seven seasons in a row with 4,000-plus yards. So he's been special.
Listen, I've always been a Matt Ryan fan, mm-hmm. so you don't have to sell me too hard. But there are the conversations, and I understand they come with some merit. And you see it on the debate shows, it'll infiltrate radio here on occasions. Well, is Matt Ryan a lead? Is mm-hmm. Eli Manning a Hall of Famer? You know the conversations that we hear. And I would say this, Brian. 2016, when he had 30-something touchdowns and seven picks, he doesn't have to be that special this year, but he's got to be better than he was a year ago. He's got to be. Do you attribute that to the Sark relationship? I know you just mentioned Sark, mm-hmm. but what do we expect in year two with that duo?
I think that's part of it. I think they had the most drops in the league last year, and I can't remember the stat. It was the least amount of turnover-worthy passes were thrown by Matt Ryan, but they had 12 picks because seven of the balls he threw got tipped through receiver's hands and intercepted.
Wow.
Matt knows he can play better. You watch enough to see. You guys are astute enough to realize he can play better at times, and they got to be better in the red zone. But I do. I think it was an interesting hire to bring Steve Sarkisian in here, who had never been an offensive coordinator in the NFL. And it's a different animal. And he came in, and not only that, he didn't even bring his own system. He learned Kyle Shanahan's system. So it was just such a weird deal to bring him in here. And I think the second year under his belt, he's learned what Julio can do and the different young receivers he has and Justin Hardy and Mohamed Sanu had a nice year last year again. I think Austin Hooper will step up at the tight end position and have a great year.
Yeah, I like him.
I think a year or two under the belt together with his group will make all the difference in the world. And they're not going to – I think they went from 34 points a game or something ridiculous to 22 points last year. And I think you see him creep up back towards 28 points a game this year.
Yeah, somewhere in the middle should get it done.
Yeah.
Brian Finneran with us, former Falcons wideout, does a lot of work. 680 the Fan down there in Atlanta.
Hey, Brian, when you look at this roster, there's not a lot of turnover and there's not a lot of additions, especially when you go look on the defensive side of the ball. There's some really good young players, Vic Beasley, obviously, and Deion Jones. This team should have the expectation to go farther than they did last year. And we talk about them feeling, I don't know, like off kilter a little bit, but they still won 10 games and made the postseason. Like, what's the realistic expectation for this team? Because it feels like they should be, with the consistency, the continuity, another year under Sark, they should be right back deep into the postseason. Is that what everybody's feeling and talking about down there?
Big time. They really are. That's a team that Matt only had 20 touchdowns and 12 and he had 12 interceptions, I think. As a team, they are in the minus in the turnover ratio, mm-hmm. I believe, like minus two or something on the season.
Yep.
And they win 10 games. With those statistics, you should barely win eight games.
Yeah, you're right.
And they're able to do those things. And exactly what you're talking about, Tiki, it's the guys they have on that roster. And it's a youth on that side of the ball on the defense really carried them through a lot of the season. We haven't even talked about the cornerback position. And Robert Alford is a sick athlete.
Yep, you're right.
McKeon O'Neal at the safety spot. Desmond Trufant. Ricardo Allen just got a nice little deal, who's a quarterback of that defense. And then – So some young guys. You mentioned Vic Beasley, Tack McKinley this year. Keep an eye on number 98, Tack McKinley. If he can stay healthy, I think he's going to be a really good asset. I think he had 6 sacks last year and may have played 40% of the plays, maybe. He's going to play a lot as well.
Yeah.
So, and you mentioned the heart and soul of that defense, which is Deion Jones. Is just, I didn't think he was able to do the things he did the last few years just because he was undersized.
Yep.
I think he's a 6-foot, 225-pound middle linebacker. You just don't see that very often anymore. And his speed and viciousness that he arrives with is so much fun to watch. So, yeah, that defense will really propel this team. And they can work off each other and get that turnover ratio up. They're going to be really good. So, yeah, playoffs for sure.
And the stadium is dope.
Yeah,
I mean, it looks like Darth Vader's
chamber.
You know
what's wrong with our stadium, guys?
What's
is, last year, when I was season ticket holder for the first time in the life of any sport, I sat in that thing in one of the lower end zones, and I was sick to my stomach every time. It was third and long, and we were on defense, and guys in front of me sitting down, and guys up at the doing what you're just doing right there, checking out all the scenery inside the building and all the different amenities. And I'm sitting there yelling and screaming for the defense, and everybody else is checking out the amenities in the building. So it has yet to become a home field advantage for the Falcons, and I
interesting.
Hope that's different this year because it was bad.
Wow.
Yeah. No, that's not a good thing.
Wow.
You got to be loud at the right times. It's a knowledgeable crowd. If you don't have a knowledgeable crowd, it's pointless to have
and
a great stadium.
Listen,
seriously.
It was weird because they're not a dumb football. It's not a dumb football city. They literally were walking around the stadium checking out the amenities and all the different things they could check out. And it just it was not good. As a former player, I had people behind me thinking I was crazy as I'm standing up jumping around. My kids are standing next to me and my wife's looking at me like I'm nuts. And I was like trying to get people jump up and – it just wasn't happening, so I hope it's different this year.
Wow, didn't realize that.
Yeah.
All right,
that's
Brian.
That's some good intel there.
Good stuff.
Seriously.
Brian, appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for coming
appreciate
on.
Appreciate you, man.
You got it, guys. Take care.
Okay. We'll get the update here from Jay. We got inbounds, out of bounds coming up after that. Interesting. I know we had a few deflections. 7 of the 12 picks that Matt Ryan threw ricocheted off his receiver's hands, which was the highest number since 2010.
Wow.
And just as a further point of comparison, Brady, Rivers, Eli, and Big Ben combined, 0 ricochets off their receivers' hands that led to picks.
Yeah, I mean, that's one side of his TD interception line, TD INT line, but 20 and 12, so it should have been like 20 and 5. The other side is the one that I'm more interested in. For the first time, it felt like a long time. He struggled to get them in the end zone. Think of all the
games. When he was in the red zone.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
He struggled to get them into the end zone. And it's not something I ever had expected from Matt Ryan and the Falcons, but it must speak. And the only thing that people would ask me about it was it's got to be the relationship with Sark, right? There's just not a comfortability between QB and OC about what works and what I know you're great at in this area of the field because – Matt Ryan is one of the best. He was MVP a couple years ago. 20 TDs?
Yeah.
It doesn't make a
lot
of
sense. Not
with the
weapons he's got.
Exactly.
Yes or no? Is he on a Hall of Fame path right now? Right now, he hangs him up. Another 2-3 good years. Is he a Hall of Famer? Without a Super Bowl?
No.
Ooh, might have to circle back to that. I will.
All right. No. He's got to have a couple of extraordinary seasons.
Oh, we're definitely circling back to this. We'll get Jay Berman's update right now. Then we've got inbounds, out of bounds. Here's Jay. All right, they're chasing FedEx Cup points at their last shot to make the playoffs. It's the Wyndham Championship coming up this weekend on CBS. Let's check out the leaderboard before we get to inbounds, out of bounds here on a Friday, 43 minutes past the hour. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Hope all is good. All right, so our boy Brant Snedeker, who we had on the show yesterday, 59, one of 10 golfers ever to go sub-60.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Snedeker, even today through 14, he is tied for first. 3 golfers at minus 11. In terms of bigger names, Jim Furyk is there. He has 2 sub-60s, 58, 59. Henrik Stenson's playing. Ryan Moore's, you might know him if you watch the Golf Channel a lot. He's pretty good. Aaron Baddeley's a name you probably know. Who else here? Listen, Jason Duffner, who's not had a good season. It's Sergio's playing. He's minus 6. He's tied for 21st. Anybody else? Billy Horschel, Graham McDowell. A couple of Ricky Barnes. Remember Ricky Barnes? Wow. He kind of went off the map.
Yeah, he did.
Right? Rory Sabatini's out there. Webb Simpson. Good enough names. Webb Simpson is on the Ryder Cup team. So that is good if you want to watch it this weekend coming up on CBS. And then next week, I don't know, 15, 18, 20 miles from here, Ridgewood Country Club.
That's right.
You got the FedEx Cup starts.
You're right.
Going to be good. All right, Tiki, ready for inbounds, out of bounds?
Let's get to it.
Here we go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right, what's wrong, and who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and Out of Bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
With my macho man. Did you see the article? You probably didn't see it.
No,
on CBSSports.com. I retweeted it.
No, I didn't.
30 years of, like, when Macho Man, it was yesterday, when Macho Man burst onto the WWF. What a great, like, the whole chronology of it and the interviews with people like Ted DiBiase and Jake the Snake Roberts. The only reason I say that is because the camera caught me. I was doing some sort of Macho Man to the guys behind the glass, so I probably looked like a nut job, but there was reason for that. All right, Teak, here we go, brother. Inbounds, out of bounds. Let's go. Steelers, All-Pro running back Le'Veon Bell still holding out. Last night, his backup, two-year back James Conner looked pretty sharp, reeling off 57 yards and a touchdown on just five carries. Now, Conner, who was a star at Penn State, he was a star at Pitt.
Yeah.
And thank God I caught that. Santa's already on vacation mode. Mm-hmm. That's Santa's bed, but we're too good for that. He overcame cancer. Which is an amazing story.
Yeah,
wow, he's easy to root for. Steelers' third-round pick back in 2017. 2015, D'Angelo Williams filled in for a suspended, then injured Bell. He rushed for nearly 900 yards and 11 touchdowns. So basically, whenever Bell's not there, the other guys do well.
Yeah, they have a good O-line.
They do. Inbounds, out of bounds. Le'Veon Bell's value to the Steelers is overrated.
It's out of bounds.
Interesting question.
How could I ever say inbounds with a running back being overrated? Here's the thing, Samter. What you're discounting in this question is the reason that the Pittsburgh Steelers are so good is because they throw the ball a ton. And Antonio Brown, and back it was Martavis Bryant, but now this new kid, James Washington, who was a second-round pick, he balled last night, 114 yards and two touchdowns. The Steelers throw the rock downfield, which forces you to back up. And so that's why their running lanes are always there. But this is why I don't think Le'Veon's value is overrated. His ability to catch the ball out of the backfield, he had 85 catches last year, which keeps drives going and is also a weapon. It's his versatility is what makes him so great. So out of bounds.
I agree with you here, Tiki. It's one thing to replicate stats, but that's obviously a literal look at how other players do when Bell is not there. And, as Mike definitely points out, their production is pretty good. I mean, when D'Angelo Williams played, it did pretty well, and Conner as well. But, somebody like Le'Veon Bell, it diversifies the game plan from the Steelers' point of view, mm-hmm. which keeps them utterly unpredictable from the opponent's point of view.
Right, exactly.
He's
exactly right.
Come on, he's one of the five best offensive players in the NFL. Of course, the answer is out of bounds.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, so the 76ers, they built a talented young center thanks to what we know is the process during which they averaged 19 wins. This was from 2013 through 2017. Now, this week, Clippers owner Steve Ballmer spoke to a group of season ticket holders in his own special way.
Do what it takes. Leave no stone unturned. We need to compete and compete relentlessly. Right now, we're about winning this year. We are different. We do it our own way. We're going to make it L.A. our way. That's who we are. That's what we want to be. Let's go, Clippers!
Yeah.
Let's go, Clippers!
And when you hear the term eccentric owner, that is exactly what they have in mind.
Oh, man.
That guy. Wow. Okay. He then continued to rip the process. He wasn't done. He was throwing some heat, a little shade at Philly, saying that, quote, that ain't us. Not, no way. Not us. We've got higher expectations than the long, hard 5-6 years of absolute crap like the 76ers put out. Wow. In or out, taking now to build a team through the draft is the better system than building through free agents.
I'm going to say this is out of bounds only because of the uncertainty of tanking and trying to go draft these kids and hope that they turn out. There's so many first-round draft picks, high or otherwise. They turn out not to be the answer. So it's uncertain. The 76ers, maybe they just scouted better or got a little lucky or drafted two out of five that were just right, mm-hmm. meaning Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid.
Yeah, they missed on Nerlens Noel.
Exactly.
They missed on Jahlil Okafor.
Exactly. That's my point.
I know.
So it's too uncertain. So I want to say out of bounds, but, just an aside real quick. For Steve Ballmer to think that this Clippers team is going to compete with
out of his mind.
Lou Williams, who's sixth man of the year.
Sweet Lou. Fill it up. Former Sixer, by the way.
Gortat. Pat Beverly?
Yeah, Cortot looks like a mean
Those
dude,
are the best
he?
Players on the team right now.
Yeah. Well, they've got Gallinari's back healthy. Yeah. Missed a lot of time. Okay. Good offensive player. No, I'm with
Tobias
you.
Tobias Harris is a good player. But I mean,
you know what, though? They could be a 7 seed. I mean, let's see what they do with their first round picks. I mean, I'm not going to say they're going to be terrible.
I'm not saying they're terrible, but I'm just saying.
He's just saying.
I'm just saying.
They're not
they got
good.
High expectations.
Yeah, I know.
Great.
It's called 46 wins. here's the thing. The answer's out of bounds. I'm with you on that, Teak. Now, the luxury that the 76ers had in subscribing to a long, arduous process is that they didn't share a building with a team, let alone a glamour team.
Yeah.
Like the Clippers share a building with a glamour franchise like the Lakers. I mean, if the
they literally fall off the map if they do this.
Like right. they did for all those years when
You're
they
right.
were terrible. Although that wasn't, like, they weren't trying to be bad. They were just bad. You know, there's certain situations that allow you to take advantage of being down, and your fans will stick with you. I could see Oklahoma City mm-hmm. doing that. Philly didn't. Their fans kind of abandoned them. I mean, the building was half empty. I don't care what you say, Philly fans. You weren't going for a long time. But Bombers... He's nuts, but he's nutty enough where he's interesting.
I agree.
But I still disagree with this premise. I say out of bounds.
Are you in or are you out?
All right. So tonight, Nats three-time Cy Young winner Max Scherzer. He's a Hall of Famer.
He is. Yeah,
he is really good. Takes the mound against the Marlins. He's got the NL's best whip, the most wins, the most strikeouts in innings, third best war as well. That's an important stat. Tomorrow night, the Mets ace Jacob deGrom, who's been phenomenal. His turn to take his Cy Young case against the East-leading Phillies. DeGrom's just 7 wins for the lowly Mets, but his NL best ERA, I butchered that whole thing. You know what his stats are. They're terrific. In or out, Scherzer will win his 4th Cy Young this year.
You know, I would have thought, until I really dug into this, as I did this afternoon, I would have said out of bounds. I thought DeGrom was having such a great season. But
he
you
is.
Start looking at what Max Scherzer's doing, his innings pitch. He's up to like 225 innings pitch, so he's mm-hmm. there. He's leading the league in strikeouts. He's not up to 220, but he's going to get to 200-plus innings pitched. He's unbelievable, and he gets deep in games. And if it wasn't for his bullpen, he'd have more wins than he already has right now. So I'm saying, yeah, he's going to win, despite how amazing of a season Jacob deGrom is having.
I disagree. I do not think he will win his 4th Cy Young. Now, by the way, you got to throw the caveat in there. If he wins 4 of his final 5 games, which he very well might,
yep.
although the Nats are on playing great baseball right now, then he very well could win it. I you have to make a prediction. I think that it's going to be DeGrom. I don't see him falling off. I don't.
Mm-hmm.
You got to remember now, I mean, we know he's 7-7. His ERA is under 2.
You're right.
I mean, and it's not even like it's 1.96. It's close to 1.75.
1.8.
Yeah, exactly. So he's 7-7. His bullpen bombed 8 games for him. I mean, what would if they did their job, and we're looking at DeGrom stats, and we're seeing, instead of 7 wins, we're seeing 15 or 16 right now. I don't even think Santa would be moved to ask the question because the answer would be obvious. It would be DeGrom. DeGrom deserves, right now, DeGrom is the Cy Young winner for me.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
By the way, we didn't get to this, but over the week, it's pretty funny. So Joe LaCava, who you know,
did the
Thuzio event with Joe,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Joe was great.
He is cool. And he's got a good relationship with Tiger.
Yep.
That seems to be a nice...
I mean, wouldn't you? You get paid to not do anything for a year while he get healthy?
Yes, but that's one way to look at it, but... People who are successful want to be active. You know that. I mean, I know he's still getting his money and all that stuff, but
he wants to be active. He was active. He was playing golf.
All right. Yeah, I got you. But I guess there was a pretty vocal fan in the gallery who was getting after a heckler. And basically, Joe went up to the guy and asked him nicely, hey, do me a favor, dial it back, buddy.
Yeah.
You know, trying to work here. And the guy said, well, you pay for my ticket, which I think was $25,
yep.
and I'll be quiet. LaCava reaches into his wallet. He pulls out 25. He gives it to the guy.
Yeah.
The guy keeps heckling him.
Idiot.
So is it in or out of bounds to try to pay off a heckler?
Inbounds, because that's Joe. He's trying to take care of his boy. He was throwing like this nonsense out there. And Joe said, why are you going? You don't have to go there. Everybody's rooting for Tiger around here. If you don't like him, leave.
Mm-hmm.
He finally got kicked out.
I just keep envisioning the guy with Shooter McGavin, the guy with a nail in his head. Andre
you
the Giant,
miss.
Basically, right?
Yeah.
All right, 3rd hour coming up. Tiki and Tierney.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.